Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we worship you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Thank you, God. Shoo! Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you, Jesus. We invite your presence. We so need you, God. Lord, even though there's giants in the land, we know that you're greater than the giants that are in the land, oh God. Lord, even though your people hide behind the rocks, God, you will deliver your people. You are mighty in battle, God. Your enemies melt like wax. Their heels faint down and melt like wax in your presence, O God. Lord, you are mighty, God. You are worthy, God. We worship you tonight. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, I know that the Lord is good. The presence of the Lord is just so awesome, so thick. Oh, I just love the new worship. God is just so blessing us. I want to move quickly into the Word tonight to be able to, I know you guys had a long day at work and all, but we want to start tonight just focusing on God. We just want to open up in prayer at this moment and just say, God, come on, join me. God. Lord, we're nothing without you. The enemy surrounds us and begins to shout threats to us and wants to destroy us when we stand for you, O God. But you, O God, you, O Lord, deliver your people, God. Lord, we're seeing your hand move when the enemy is taking jobs, you're giving jobs. When the enemy's taking houses, you're giving houses. Lord, your right arm is strong. We invite you into all the VFN family churches, God. We invite you into our, wash us, cleanse us, renew us, God. Renew us, Father. Renew us, Father. Change us, Lord. Transform us, God. May we never be the same. Ho! After this VFM family gathering. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 23. I just want to talk to you briefly tonight what God has had on my heart. And as you know, God just speaks. And he lets us know what's happening. And it seems like things are escalating and moving quicker and faster. And I was in my abiding time this week and last week. And God just began to speak to me about what I'm going to share a little bit with you tonight. And I believe it's the beginning of a conversation that we're going to have for some time. But there was this king, this young king, his name was Josiah. And he was 8 years old when he became king. You know why? Because God's people were doing evil in his sight. That when God's people are in rebellion to him, even though they were God's people, even though they were called by God's name, even though they were identified as God's people, they were doing evil in his sight. And God tells us this. He says that a rebellious people, women and children rule over it. That's what he said. What does that mean? That means boy leaders. You have a whole bunch of boy leaders where you may have older women and older men, but they still seem to have that immaturity. They never break loose because of that rebellion that was in that particular culture. They had an 8-year-old king. His name was Josiah. And by the time Josiah was around 26 years old, you can imagine he was 8. The people were doing evil. And by the time he was 26 years old, he says, you know what? I want to send a message to the temple. And at that time, God would tabernacle with his people in the temple at that point. He wasn't dwelling in men and with men. He was dwelling at the temple. So the men had to go to the temple where the presence of God was. And they let it just kind of fall to pieces. They let it fall to pieces. And he said, I want you to go up there and I want you to tell the leaders there. I want you to tell them to take the treasurer, the money, and I want you to give it to the carpenters. That's what he said. I want you to give it to the carpenters. And don't even oversee them. They're trustworthy. And let them begin to repair the outside of the temple. And so think about it. God took he sent in the king, the young king who's now 26 years old. He doesn't know anything about the things of God yet. You know why? Because he couldn't find, I wouldn't say a Bible, but it would be a Bible to us. He could not find the commandments of God, the Old Testament, the Torah. He couldn't find it. And because it was hidden, nobody was actually looking in the Bible anymore. Nobody was interested in what God had to say about things. And even in having that in his heart, he still was concerned about the temple of God. And so he sends that message up there. And when he sends the message there, all of a sudden, when the finances switch from the priest to the carpenters, all of a sudden the priest comes out, Hezekiah, and he says, look what I found. He said, look what I found. He says, I found the commandments of God. Isn't that funny? Think about it. When all of a sudden Hezekiah was going to lose the direction and the control, all of a sudden he starts whipping out the Bible. Right? I mean, you had it all along, Hezekiah. Why? Now you had an 8-year-old ruler who's now 26 who's never even known what's in there because you haven't been teaching him the Word of God. And now he, in his own leading by the unction of God, obviously not by you because you didn't teach him the Word of God, he's going to say, give the money up to the carpenter so they can start fixing God's temple. And now you're going to pop out, look what I found. I found the commandments of God. And so the king didn't get offended. He says, well, read it. Let's read that. And so his secretary came back and began to read the commandments to him. And he was dumbfounded. You know, and that's what happened to me. What happened to me, when God saved me and he changed my life and began to transform me, and it's been a journey. I'm like Josiah. Yeah, I look at the word and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is not good for where we are as the church. It's not good. But you know, the leaders are, not all the leaders, but predominantly the leaders are just doing other things and worried about other things than about the simplicity of what God says. And when you stand up for what God says, you get attacked by the very ones who are supposed to be preaching God's word. And so Josiah reads it, and he finds out we are like disobeying everything God says. And there comes a time in your life, the Evan family, when you look at the Bible and you just get real. You get real and you go, you know what? If I'm not lining up with that, this is not good. This is not good. And he saw that, and he realized God says that if this happens, that my anger is going to burn against you. My anger is going to burn against you. And he knew it. And he ripped all of his robes, and he began to cry out, and he goes, God's anger is burning against us. You know, and I don't want to deliver this message, but I'm like Josiah. I found out in his word that God's anger is burning against America. It's burning against the Church of America and the pride. I mean, think about this. Out of 52% of the world's population, 52% of them live in poverty. 28% live on less than a dollar a day. Americans on their average earn 360 times more than 28% of the poorest population. We're the wealthiest nation in the world. God has blessed us on every side, and yet we demand more and march in the streets and ask for more. And 97% of the church, according to George Barna and Barna Group, when he studied the church on regular church attenders that go to the gathering at least twice, once every other week, that they're robbing from God. We're wanting more, and we're stealing from God at the same time. And we're already getting paid 360% more than 28% of the world. And for every dollar that they get, we're getting like, oh, I don't know, $49, $69. But we're just like wealthy. Now we are. But now we're beginning to see something happen. We're beginning to see our nation unfold before our eyes. We're beginning to see the consequences like Josiah saw. And he's going like, this is not good. This is not good. And so Josiah was a king. So the difference of being a king and a republic government or a government like America's, for example, is that you, the people, are the kings here. Because it's a government by the people and for the people. And we're talking about the original intent. See, King Josiah was a king. It was a monarchy government. A king can say, off with your head. A king can say, listen, we should be doing what God says. And everybody begins to do what God says because you got to do what the king says. But you see what happens in America, you are the king. You're the one that issues the edicts. You're the one that says, this is the person that will lead our country. This is the person that will lead our school boards. This is how marriage will be. This is how family will be. This is how church will be. This, you know what I'm saying? It's us. We're the ones. It's a government by the people and for the people. And we are responsible for the state of this nation in so many different ways. In so many different ways. We are the kings in America. We can actually decide if we want to have a president, this president or that president. No monarchy can do that. They can't rule a king out. They can't vote a king out or vote a king in. We can determine, hey, do we want a stop sign here or a stop sign there? We can say we want the death penalty here or we want the death, not want the death penalty. We can say that by 16 you can drive and by 21 you can do this and by, we can say all this kind of, we can make our own laws. And what do we choose to do? We chose in 1972 with Roe versus Wade in the courts to say it's okay to begin to murder children in the womb. Murder children in the womb. Remember, we talked about that. If you haven't heard zero tolerance yet, you need to talk to your pastors about going through a zero tolerance seminar. It is so prevalent. I'm telling you, it is so prevalent in this culture. And one thing about a Jezebel spirit, it hates children. It hates children. Children are a nuisance. And if somebody, a man or woman who has a stronghold of a Jezebel spirit, an Ahab spirit, if they have children, they're just tools. They do something to meet their needs. But that's not what parenting's about. That's not what spiritual parenting's about. It's about laying down our life. And there's so much bloodshed in America right now. There's so much bloodshed in the world right now. I mean, you think about it. In China, there's a one-child policy. What does that mean? Every other child after the first one has been murdered. In a population of 1.3 billion people, blood is pouring over the land. You know what? But they're ruled by tyrants in China. They're ruled by a king that says, this is how it will be. The people are not the ruler there. The king's the ruler there. And we're the king here in America. And we're just as evil as that king there if we say we can abort our children's here. We're just like the China king there. If we're saying it's okay to do it and we're not protesting that and we're not voting against that, I'm telling you what Josiah found out. This is what he found out. And so, you know, he's like this god called Moloch, which is no god at all, but it's a god in men's mind, which is a demon. But they would take children and they would lay children on the altar of Moloch. And they would kill the children. And the blood would pour all over the altar. And they call this their sacrifice to Moloch. They would sacrifice their children to the world. And this is the one God that God hated the most. This is the one God he hated the most. And he's talking to King Josiah here in 2 Kings 23. And he's talking to him. When he saw what was going on, the first thing that happens with Josiah, he checks himself first. He doesn't run out and tell everybody else to get straight. Even though he himself is king, he first looked at himself and he said, my goodness, I have done wrong in all my life. I need to repent. I need to get my life right. I need to get my life right. And he began to repent and ask God to forgive him and begin to say, you know what, I'm going to make things right. God. And so he took the leadership as a king and began to do things right. I'm talking to you because you're a king. First of all, in the spiritual realm, you are a king of kings, right? You serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's made you a nation of kings and priests. You're a king. In America, you are a king. It's a government by the people and for the people. We actually decide who's going to be the leader in our country. It's our fault if we say nothing, if we do not vote, if we do not get out and support who we feel we prayed about and we sought. Are you a praying man? Are you a praying woman? What is God saying to you? What's your plan? Are you going to support Christian families? Are you going to support the church? Are you going to fight against the church? I mean, these are things we've got to ask them because we're the kings. So King Josiah did this. King Josiah said, I'm going to make this right. And so he begins to deal with himself. And after dealing with himself, he goes out in front of all the people because he's king. He goes out in front of all the people. And he reads the same scriptures, the same word of God that he read privately. He read it publicly in front of everybody. He made a covenant. He made a covenant before God and the presence of God, before the people that he was king over. And he said, I'm going to obey the word of God. I'm going to live a holy life. That's what he said. And then the people followed the king. When they saw the king, who's the king? You're the king. I'm the king. In America, it's a government of the kings, right? Of the people, by the people. Why do we have so much advertising on television and yard signs and billboards and campaign buttons and pens? Because they're talking to you, the king, and wanting to say, hey, king, will you let me lead? Will you let me be the president? Will you let me be a senator for you? Will you let me be a congressman for you? Will you let me be a justice, Supreme Court justice for you? Will you let me be a governor for you? They got to ask you because you're the one that determines who's going to lead. You're the king. And so then because he's king, Josiah, not only did everybody agree and made the same covenant that he made, but then they begin to go across the land. And the king can do this. This is what a king can do versus our form of government in America. A king can say, you know, off with their head. He just began to say, you know what? Every altar. Well, first of all, this is what he did. Remember when he went and had the carpenters go to the temple? And he gets there and all of a sudden the priest comes out, you know, Hezekiah comes out and goes, look what I found. And he reads it. And this all began. Why? Because they read the word. He abided with God. And he repented. And then he goes to the temple. Now he was worried. He's concerned about the outside of the temple at first. But now he went to the inside of the temple. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, that God's Spirit dwells inside of you? He went to the inside of the temple and he found out there was like Baal altars in there. There was Asherah poles in there. There was pornography in there. There was prostitution in there. There was lust in there. There was greed in there. All these things were inside of the tabernacle. And he's like, clean this thing out. And they begin to clean all the idols and all the images and all the lust and the greed and the idolatry and the sin out of the temple. What does that mean? For us, that means we got to deal with the sin that's in our heart. We can't go start telling. This is what's happening right now. We have a church that's in America, and Americans are the king in America. And the church is pointing at all the altars to false gods in America while we haven't cleaned out our hearts. We haven't even cleaned out our own temples. We haven't dealt with the sin in our own hearts. We haven't even read the word, like the priest wasn't even reading the word or sharing the word with anybody until the king, a 26-year-old king, sent somebody there. And so they began to deal with the temple first, and they began to not just clean the outside, but the inside of it. Then after they dealt with the inside, when you deal with yourself, then you can go out and begin to deal with society. Then you can go out and tell them what they should do with their conservative politics or what kind of, you know what I'm saying? You can't, if you're not going to deal with you, what are you doing trying to deal with society? You're the king. Nobody's going to listen to you, king, if you don't first deal with your own sin. You know this stuff about trying to be good instead of allowing God to be good through you. We've got to deal with that pride. We got to deal with this idol of pride that's in our hearts. We got to understand God's eyes are on us. And prior to Josiah becoming an 8-year-old king, the kings had done evil in God's sight. What has God seen you do? What does he see in the church do now? Yes, you have to understand, the word has not been preached like it should have been preached, but now you have the word. Are you applying it to yourself? You're the king. And so Josiah, once he personally dealt with his own sin, once he publicly before the people recommitted and affirmed his covenant with God in the presence of God, in the presence of the people followed the king and they made a covenant with God as well, the very same covenant. Then he went into the inside of the temple and he began to clear out all the idols and the images and the Baal and the Asherah and the pornography and the vain imaginations and all the junk, the sin that just stenched up the temple. Then after all of that was done, then he went into the Americas. Then he went into the land. You see, if when God sends a plague amongst his people, when he sends locusts to devour your paycheck and your job and your crops, when everything starts falling apart in your life, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. What does that mean? When they go purge the temple, purge your heart of the sin. Purge your, the whole nation is trembling. What I'm about to tell you right now, what the Lord shared with me, just quickened my heart. And all I could say was, oh no, oh no. But people still sleep. They still sleep. They're still prideful. I don't understand. Men fight for power. Men fight for position. Men fight for money. Men fight for everything but God. Why God's eyes are upon them. And prior to Josiah, all the kings before him, several kings before him, just did evil in his sight. And Josiah was like, hey, once he found the word at 26, but you can imagine if his fathers were evil, his fathers never taught him anything about God. He took authority of the land at 8 years old. You can only imagine how evil Josiah probably was in his life until he found God. I mean, there was no boundaries at all. And all of a sudden, he finds the Word of God and finds God. He goes, oh my goodness. And he deals from inside out. And now that he's dealt with the temple and dealt with himself and dealt with the people, then they went in the land. And they started tearing down those altars that babies were killed. We call those abortion clinics in America. It looks pretty, but if you pull off the building, if you pull away the carpet, if you pull away everything and all you have left is a stand that a person lays on. It's the same thing. It's just not a rock. And the baby is bled out before God. And the innocent blood goes on the land. And the baby's body is thrown aside. It's the God he hated most. We're the wealthiest. We're the richest. We're the most blessed and we're the most narcissistic, selfish, self-centered, pride-seeking, not even willing to have children or to raise our own. God, forgive us. I'm concerned. And so Josiah, he begins to tear things down. He's tearing stuff down. He's tearing it down. He's tearing down the Baal altars and the Asherah poles, and he's tearing down the Moloch altars with the baby's blood. He's taking the bones of the false prophets and scattering them over. He's breaking to ashes all the altars and smashing them. Listen, don't forego the reality that if God lets us, if we get to a point and people leave an abortion clinic and it's gone, and we just go buy that piece of land ourselves and we own the right and the legal authority to it, and we're moving within the laws, not outside the laws, that before God, we just crush that thing and beat it to a pulp where not one piece of board or nail exists, and burn it and just throw rubbish over and say, dear God, what have we done? I'm not talking about blowing things up. I'm talking about we're the kings. We can actually buy the land. We can make laws and get new senators and Congress and to understand and love God and have a fear of God. I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned that God might not pull us out of this. Why? Because even though Josiah did what was right, this is what God said. Look in your Bibles. Look in your Bibles in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 26. Look at verse 25 first so you can understand what I'm talking about and how God felt about Josiah. He said, "Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his strength, in accordance with all the laws of Moses." So I want you to first understand before we move to the next verse. Josiah was awesome. Josiah did everything right. There was never a king before or after him who turned so rightly to God. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but he did it like no other king had ever done before. What is that? Let's look at it one more time. Neither before nor after Josiah. What does that mean? That includes King David, doesn't it? It includes King David because King David was before Josiah. And King David was awesome. But neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, and with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his strength, in accordance with the laws of Moses. You have to understand, Josiah can be around you, and Josiah can be doing what's right, but it doesn't mean you're doing what's right. If your pastor's doing what's right, it doesn't mean you're doing what's right. If your apostle, your spiritual father or mother is doing what's right, it doesn't mean you're doing what's right. See, you stand alone before God. You stand alone before God. No witnesses. There's nobody you can say, "Hey, tell God what happened." God knows everything. You stand alone. There's no suspects. You can't blame anybody for anything. And this is the biggest blaming generation I've ever seen in my life. Does anybody own anything? You have to own your own sin because you can't deal with what you cannot get healed from what you failed to acknowledge. You got to acknowledge it. You got to go to the cross and say, "God, it's wrong. It's my sin. It's what I've done. I've done wrong before you." And so Josiah was awesome. He did everything right. But look at this is what things are. God just melted my heart because this is what's happening in the land. When you hear about this, he says, the reason why God's anger is burning, you're fixing to find out, is because of all the innocent blood that's been shed in the land. Let's look at it. Verse 26. Nevertheless, this is 2 Kings 23:26. Nevertheless, even though Josiah was awesome and did like no other king's ever done, he did it right. He said, "Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn away from the heat of his fierce anger, which burned against Judah," which is God's people. You know, we have people that's professing that, "Hey, you know, God made a covenant with America. Nothing's going to happen to America." Judah, Jerusalem, Israel. "Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn away from the heat of his fierce anger, which burned against Judah because of all that Manasseh had done in provoking him to anger. So the Lord said, 'I will remove Judah also from my presence, as I remove Israel, and I will reject Jerusalem, the city I chose, and this temple, which I said, there shall my name be.'" I'm telling you, God, the innocent blood of the babies that were sacrificed. He said, "I'm just not going to be able to turn away my anger. I'm not going to do it. And we have to understand that when God began to do it, he said very specifically, in verse 13, it's 2 Kings 23:13. When he was purging the temple, he said, "The king also desecrated the high places," which he was smashing down those high places and those altars, "that were east of Jerusalem on the south hill of the corruption," the hill of corruption, "the one Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Asherah, the goddess of Sidonians and the Moabites, for Moloch and the detestable gods of Amnon." And he said, "Listen, for all the innocent blood that was shed, I'm just not going to forgive them. I'm not going to let it go. My anger is not going to turn away." In other words, what I set out to do because of all the innocent blood that's been poured on this land, my anger is going to come. You think about it. But God, I've been doing everything right. God, I acknowledge my sin. This is wrong. But yeah, you've been a king, Josiah. You've been a king. You've been a king. Did you stand up for the other ones? Or did you stay silent? Did you learn about your country that you're supposed to rule? Or did you sit back and let rebellious people just take over? What did you do, Josiah? You're the king in America. What did you do? And so the Lord laid on my heart. He's like, because of this blood that was shed, because of the blood that was shed, I'm not going to turn my anger away. And I was caught between a dilemma, because what happens then, even though Josiah did what was right, the Lord says, but I'm telling you, this is what I'm going to do, Josiah. Because you did what was right, I'm going to go ahead and take your life. I'm going to keep you from this. And it was like maybe a few years later, when he was about 31 years old, he went out to fight the king of Egypt. And he died out there. So many people say, yeah, he's dead. Yeah, he's, you know, he was serving Jesus. And, you know, no, God had mercy on him. Because you're about to find out what's about to happen. There's some people right now that have already gone to be with the Lord. And I believe there's some others that are going to go be with the Lord before this time comes. There's a time coming to test men's souls to the earth. It's coming to America. It's coming, and the church sleeps. God's people refuses to deal with the idols. But you know what? We can begin to deal with it. We can begin to cry out to God. But this is what concerned me. He removed Josiah after a short reign, after him, maybe 7 years or so, and he's about 31 or 32. And all of a sudden, Josiah's son takes over. That's the way it works with a monarchy. Your son becomes king. And so his son immediately went back to the old king's way, not his dad's way. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He went out. This king went out. Josiah's son, who he saw his dad. He saw what his dad did. He saw his dad destroy all these temples. He saw his dad confront all these false gods. He saw his dad do all these different things, but he chose to do evil instead. Why would Josiah's son, the most awesome king that ever lived, why would his son choose to rule like his like the evil kings? Why wouldn't he do what's right? Why are you doing what you're doing? You're a king in America. You determine. Do you even know the Constitution of the United States? Do you know what it says? It's a government by the people and for the people. And all of our rights come from God. Have you told anybody that? Do you know that? You're the king. Why wouldn't the king read his Constitution? Why wouldn't she read her Constitution? Why wouldn't she read her Bible? Evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so we got to turn like Josiah and say, you know, I need to know what the Declaration of Independence says. I need to know why we got an independence. Why we got independent from the king. Why did we separate? Why did we leave the king like we did? We left the king because what's happening today was happening then. And we said, it can't be, because you're going to stop us from being able to worship God freely and having representative government. A government by the people and for the people. And now it's turning all the way around, and nobody knows where they came from, and we're going right back to where we were. And so here, Josiah's with the Lord, his son's the new king, and he immediately goes to the king of Egypt, and he makes a covenant with the king of Egypt and merges his power with the world. He takes God's power after Josiah did all of that stuff to do what's right for God and was pleasing in the eyes. The son squandered it. He squandered it and went into the world with it and took the power of Egypt and merged it with the authority of Israel. And then he changed his mind. He rebelled against it and said, no, I don't want to do that. Never mind. And he didn't understand it. By that time, it was too late. It was too late that time. It was too late. Why? Let me tell you why. Because God already decided, because of the blood that was on the land, the innocent blood that's been poured out in the land, he told Josiah before his son even took over, in authority, says, "I'm, my fierce anger is gonna this stuff is gonna happen to this land." And so immediately, the very evil that he made a covenant with, that Josiah's son made a covenant with, he said, "What? You think you're the one in control here?" The king of Egypt said this to him, "You think you're in control?" And they came and they took him, and they put him in chains and kept him from Jerusalem, where he couldn't rule anymore. And now the world determined who the next leader was going to be for God's people. The world determined that. The world picked the next leader of Jerusalem. And the king of Egypt, which represents the world, the king of Egypt said this, "Listen, I want your other brother to be the ruler. And not only that, we're going to change his name. I don't like the name that you gave him. I'm going to change his name to Jehoiakim." To Jehoiakim. And so the world even named him. God was bringing judgment on his people. He was bringing the consequences of the innocent blood that's been shed on the land. He said, you got to understand, if Abel's blood still cries out, all those babies' blood still cry out today. Yes, God forgives you, but we have to, if we're kings, we should stand up and say, "God, change our land, change our laws, change our leaders, change our president, change things, God," and begin to vote for people and run for offices, that we stand up for what's right, because we can do that in America. It's not like any other form of government other than Israel's government. But what do? We just criticize those who stand up and run. We sit passively aside and point our fingers at people and act like they're supposed to be righteous. No man's righteous, no, not one. We got to stand up and say, "Dear God, do something. We're going to lose this land. We're going to lose it." And so before the sun even took over, God's judgment had already begun. And now the world was picking the leader of God's people and naming him Jehoiakim. The interesting thing that nothing happens outside of God's plans. What's happening right now in America? My goodness, come on. Do you really think the devil's pulling one over on God? Are you spending more time, you know, talking to people instead of talking to God about what's going on? Then you don't believe that God's in control. This is being orchestrated and allowed to happen by God. And we still sleep. The king still doesn't read the word. The king still doesn't read the Constitution. The king still doesn't read the Declaration of Independence. The king is still bowing down to Baal and Asheroth and pornography and lust and greed and pride. And think about it. Now the world picked the leader of God's people. And it was God. You know what the name Jehoiakim means? It means set up by God. How could Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt, the king of Egypt, how can he know how to pick a leader, the exact leader, and name him the prophetic name just right? Because God is in control. God is in control. And so now it went from his first son to his second son. He got a name changed by the world, and the world prophesied that this guy's set up by God. What happened to Brother John? God told Brother John this. He said, what? Before he even got into office, our present president, he said, "This man's been set up." He said, God tells him, that's what he's saying. He's like, listen to this. He's Jehoiakim. He's established by God. He was set up by God. This is not a mistake. Our country's not being dismantled because, oh, somebody's just fumbling around. This is a strategy. This is a plan. This is permission by the creator of the universe for the blood, the innocent blood poured out in the land. And we can change the law. We're the kings. We can tear down the altars. We're the kings. We can stop abortion. We're the kings. We can define marriage. We're the kings. We can get pornography out of the land. We're the kings. But what do? More stuff, more things, more me. The land's falling. I know you say, hey, I want to hear something. Listen, don't you want to know if it's falling? Don't you want to know? That's Brother John. Y'all may have heard him, but he's told, you can go back and see it on the VFN Torch, what happened. God woke him up and he grabbed his wife's leg, Pastor Teresa, and he sat up in bed and he said, he's been set up. He's being set up. He's Jehoiakim. He's Jehoiakim. What does that mean? To fight against Jehoiakim is to fight against the plans of God. That's what that means. If God is doing it, and you fight against it, you find yourself fighting against God. There comes a time sometimes when it's over. There comes a time sometimes because you refuse to do what was right, King, because you did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He says it's over for this reign, for this rule, and how it's happening. I was struggling between the tensions of God pours out a third great awakening. Lord, you can wake us up. But then he confronted me with the reality of the innocent blood. He said, because, this is what he told Josiah, because of the innocent blood, I'm not going to turn my fierce anger. Yes, China is killing way more babies, but they're under a tyrannical rule. They're already under the monarchy of a worldly rule. We weren't. You are the one ruling here. You're the king. You are the king. That's why they ask you to vote for them. That's why they come and sit down with you patiently. That's why they spend millions of dollars on advertising to convince you, King, would you let me lead you? And we don't even know we're the ones going to be held accountable for this nation. Not the world, the church, God's people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and clean out their temple and deal with their idols and altars, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. The world will experience a healthy land as a byproduct of us doing what's right before God. But the difficulty is this. Because of the innocent blood poured out on the land, because of it poured out of the land, he says, my fierce anger is not going to turn, Josiah. I'm just going to take you out. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And so his first son rules for 3 months. He tries to buck against who? He tries to buck against the future Jehoiakim. He begins to buck against the world who's taken over. The king of Egypt was taken over. What happened? What's the first speech that took place with our Jehoiakim? He went to international speech. He went to Cairo, Egypt, and he stood in Cairo, Egypt, and he empowered the Muslim Brotherhood. Listen, that's a loud shout to us as the church that we have sinned and we've fallen short. And he says, when I bring the sword against you, what's the sword? Islam is all about the sword. When God says, when I bring the sword against you, if I don't warn you now like I'm warning you, if we don't stand up, that your blood will be on my hands. But I'm warning you, I'm telling you, wake up. The first international speech was done in Cairo, Egypt. Who was the one that came and took over the leadership of Israel? It was Egypt. Who named Joaz's second son who became king and put him in place? It was the Muslim Brotherhood. It was Egypt. And God was orchestrating it. It wasn't somebody slipping one over on anybody. God was orchestrating. What's he doing? He's bringing judgment on the land for the sin, but also for the blood that's been poured out on the land. While you, the king, sleep, while you don't even read your rules for your own country that you lead, while you don't even know why you're separated from the king, that you don't even know that I bless this country and I raise it up for such a time as this, and you let it go to waste. You're the king. You're the king in America. The Constitution tells you that it's a government by the people and for the people, that your rights come from God. And what have you done with your rulership? What have you done with your country, King? Everybody in leadership is there because you and others in America chose them. We chose them, or chose not to get involved and let other people choose them. King Josiah began to do stuff. He dealt with himself. He dealt with the temple. He dealt with the people. Then he dealt with the city. Well, you're the king. Are you going to start with you? But this is the dilemma. We've already got Jehoiakim. Egypt has put Jehoiakim in place. The reason why he brought in the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, was because this was orchestrated by God. He's a set man. He's a set man. You can't hate the set man. You have to understand he's there because we've sinned. The church has sinned. And people are running after a Mormon. And we don't even know. A Mormon follows the Angel of Mormon and the prophet of Joseph, who has another God. Even though he uses the same name, and the church is running after their version of another Jesus. Why Jehoiakim rules. While we're looking in our very eyes, we're seeing it happened in Cairo, Egypt. We saw the empowerment of the Muslim Brotherhood. We saw our leader go there and make a pact with the authorities, our authority with their authority, merging them together, just like happened with Israel. It's not going to be good. But let me tell you this. For you, if you choose to repent, if you choose to be like Josiah, what did Josiah do? Josiah said, you know what? I've sinned. I've done what was wrong. I mean, he went from 0 to 60. He was not doing anything right. He found out what was right, and then he began to do what was right. He let everything go. Everything had to go. He had to have God. What did God do? God says, listen, I'm going to spare you for what's about to happen. If you're hearing me, you have to understand that when Jehoiakim got in place, it was Egypt that put Jehoiakim there. It was Egypt that gave him the name Jehoiakim and renamed him from the name that Josiah gave him. It was Egypt that actually was the one that decided how things were going to be done. And then when they put Jehoiakim there, let me tell you what they did. Let me tell you your future, America. Let me tell you your future. This is what happened to Israel. When Jehoiakim got there, when Egypt put him there, this is what Egypt told him. This is what the world told him. We want you to pay tribute to us. We want 100 talents of gold and 100 talents of silver. And so what did Jehoiakim did? He comes back and he says, listen what? I'm going to raise your taxes. I'm going to oppress you with charging you so much money. I'm going to assess you for all your property. And he says, he does a detailed assessment of everything that they have and starts taxing them on all of it. He taxes them on their land. Somebody says, Tea Party says what? Tax enough already. Well, how about, have you sinned enough already? Don't you understand? If we serve God, then that wouldn't happen. Taxes are not our issue. Sin is our issue. Mormonism is not our solution. Jesus is our solution. Repentance for what we've done. Brokenness for the blood poured out, the innocent blood poured out on the land. Yes, God will forgive you, but God will deal with the blood. If Abel's blood cries out today from the Garden of Eden, you don't think these millions of babies that are being killed and their blood's being poured out for Moloch, that God does not hear their cry? When you're the king, you're the king. The spirit of the land hates children. Hates children. Wants you to kill the child in the womb and kill the child when they're alive. Don't discipline them. Don't do nothing. Let them rebel. It's like you're just destroying the entire children. Satan hates them. The question is, do we love them? The purpose the two become one flesh is not for your pleasure. It's to raise godly offspring. He's a set man. It was his first speech was in Cairo, Egypt. He and the president of Egypt was not even invited because he decided, the Muslim Brotherhood decided that there was going to be a new president and there was going to be the Muslim Brotherhood. So they actually had Mubarak, the president, arrested. And now what happens? Egypt's power has merged with America's power, the world's power. And now we're seeing people saying, well, the Muslim Brotherhood's infiltrating the White House. And I was like, it's Egypt, isn't it? It's the world, isn't it? Politics are not your answer, church. Mormonism is not your answer. Political correctness is not your answer. Not reading anymore the Word of God is not your answer. Pride is not your answer. crying out to God and ripping your clothes like Josiah and being broken for the condition and beginning to say, you know what? I don't care what they do with me. When I go, I want to be for God. I want to be for God. I don't care. When I go, I want to be for Him. I don't want to be one known as done evil in His sight. We're losing our nation. And what happened then? What happened when Jehoiakim, when it was set up and he began to tax the people and tax them? Let me tell you something, what's coming to America. Taxes like you'd never seen before. The taxes are not to pay something. The taxes are not to get something. The taxes are to oppress you, to make your life miserable, to cause it to be hard for you, bricks without straw, to get your attention, to humble us. Taxes are coming like we've never seen before, if God allows you to get that point. Well, that would be an easy point. He's shown us cities falling. He's shown us so many dying in this nation that the bodies are being carried by an entire airline. He's shown us the fires. He's shown us the prisons and the things that are going to happen. He's shown us the multitude coming to God, but it's in the midst of turmoil because of our sin. He's shown us. And so what happened with Jehoiakim? And I'm going to close with this. Jehoiakim, this was nothing but transitional power. When Josiah died, he had two sons. The transition, God allowed them to be a part of the transition team that transitioned them under Babylon. Transitioned Israel to be under the power of Babylon. What does that mean? It was a world oppressive. People say, I can't believe it. He's not a godly person. It's like, is the church godly? They're just not doing a sin that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, which sin sends you to hell? The one you don't do? I mean, come on. Of course the world's not going to be godly. Of course worldly leaders are not going to be godly. They may use God because they knew you needed to hear a few words about God for you to vote for Him. But understand this, you should know God. There's leaders, there's pastors over churches, like thousands of people in this particular gathering, and they don't even know that their pastor's an atheist in America. He's an atheist. And they're interviewing him with a little black strip across his face like they're going to... They probably don't even know that it's him being interviewed. Because of the blood poured out on the land. Because of all the babies that were aborted and their lives poured out. I wish I had a picture to show you, but you can see it on the VFN torch. You can go there and see this small little baby that was killed in the womb, and just his body lays there while the blood is poured out all over the body. That's Moloch. That's a satanic sacrifice. If you rip away the building and rip away everything of the abortion clinic, what do you have? You have a table. You have a lady on the table, and you have a man killing the child or a woman killing the child. Is that any different, the fact that it's not a rock? Is it any different? You see, you have to understand the fierce anger against America because you're the king and you don't even know the Constitution. You don't even know that God lifted this nation up and blessed it. That because of the way you've ruled the land, He might not let us have it. He might take it away from us and give it to the world and put us under their leadership. It looks like it's a set man. He's a Jehoiakim. It's a transitional power taking place. Fundamental transformation in our very face. You ever heard that before? Fundamental transformation. Set up by God. Yeah, the world put Jehoiakim there, but the world named Jehoiakim. They were used by God to fulfill His plans that He told Josiah what was going to happen. It's amazing what the church is involved in. We're more like into, you know, a chicken sandwich than repenting for the sin that we've done. Oh, no, no, no. Don't pull the word out. Don't tell us how things are supposed to be. We don't want to know how things are supposed to be. You know, you're just a mean person. Really? When Josiah went by the word of God, he says, there's never been a more awesome king before you or after you. That's pretty powerful. What does that mean? That's what God's going to think about you when you begin to walk in obedience to him by the power and the empowerment that comes by your total dependency on the cross of Christ. And you refuse to say, you know, I'm just not going to sin. I'm not going to think those thoughts. I'm not going to hang with those people. I'm not going to watch those programming. And let me tell you, pretty much what's happening to America today is images. They're worshiping the images. Images. They're not doing it, but they're watching it with their eyes and they're doing it in their hearts. As if that's not doing it. That's doing it. Jesus said, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it. And one of the signs of the last days is that they would worship the image of the beast. I don't know how much time we have, but I want to say this, America. Kings, unite. Kings, rise up. Learn about your God and your country. Quit sitting back on your throne and doing nothing, allowing other people to rule while you do nothing. Quit allowing other people to read the word of God and you read it, Josiah. You read it. You do it. You'll be judged for it, whether you do or you don't. You make the decision, America. You make the decision. Forget about the Pharisees. Forget about the Sadducees. Forget about the religious people that are filling their coffers. What about you? You're a king. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I believe this. If we take up the kingship like Josiah, then God will turn this nation around. God and king. God and king. Not king and God. God and king. King of kings, kings and priests, God first, and then to begin to rule in this land like we're supposed to rule in this land. Get involved. This form of government doesn't work, king, unless you get involved. It's pathetic. The leaders that are vying for position, it's sickening. It's just sickening. It's like, how could that ever happen? It's because the kings have done nothing. The ones that have been given the rule of this land have done nothing. And they know it. And now we have fools in places of leadership. Children, boys, girls, kids in places of leadership with guns, with authority, with ability to hurt other countries, the ability to make laws to kill children and kill babies and mess parents up when they... I mean, come on! We need to transform this country back to the ways that God gave it to us to begin with. And it'll start where? With you and with me cleaning out our hearts. I don't know if he's going to give it to us. I mean, Jehoiakim, the set man's in place. He's already been to Egypt. The transition of power, like John Paul Jackson said in 2010 when he prophesied, as soon as you see the king of Israel, of Egypt taken down, which is Mubarak, it would begin. It would begin. Israel is totally surrounded. The greatest stockpile of chemical weapons in the world is sitting on the head of Israel in Syria. And the church is doing stupid stuff. We're not even thinking about ever how goes Israel, so goes us. Don't you understand? Islam is of the devil. Islam is driven, it's the antithesis of the Bible. We're waiting for Jesus to come back from the air. They're waiting for in Mecca for their God to come from the hole in the ground. We're waiting for him to come and redeem us, Jesus. And the enemy, those that don't go with Jesus, are going to get the mark of the beast. And we say that's a bad thing. Well, the Quran says that their God's going to come out of the ground and he's going to put a mark on them. And they say that's a good thing. Think about it. We're getting disciplined. The sword is being brought against us. What does that mean? We can repent. We can stand up, you know, and say, we've sinned, God. And you're going to have to begin to dig through your house and dig through your heart and dig through your job and dig through your phones and computers and all this kind of stuff. You got to begin to tell the truth and say, you're a sinner, that you've done wrong, that you're not good. God's good. God, cleanse me, and cry out to God and rip your clothes and be more remorseful about your life. The pride and the arrogance and the sin. Maybe maybe he will let us keep this country. But outside of this country, he may let us keep our souls. He says, don't fear the one who can destroy the body. Fear the one who can destroy the body and the soul. You have to understand a false doctrine has been preached in this rebellious land that says you will not have to pay the consequences for your sin if you don't repent. The truth is you will. You will. Hell is real. Hell is hot. And it's optional. It's optional that if you don't deal with your sin, you choose to go there. If nobody else deals with their sin, you can deal with yours like Josiah. You can do what's right. You can be the first in your family, the first in your marriage. Listen, your wife or your husband may never deal with their sin. Your son or your daughter or your mother or your father or your friend or your coworker, they may never turn to God. But see, you stand alone before God like Josiah. You're the king. My question is this. The set man is in place. There's so many holes being poked into the American ship. I don't think it's time to be thinking about saving the ship. It's time to start swimming. But we have to understand, why is it happening? Why did Jehoiakim get named by Egypt and put in this place? Well, he got put in this place because the people had done evil in God's sight. They did evil in this sight. And the ultimate thing that kept him from turning his fierce anger away was the abortions, the blood that was shed. What does that mean? We got a big turn to take. We got a big turn to take in America. And just maybe. I mean, you have to be willing for somebody to stand up and call you a sinner. You're supposed to go, yeah, that's right, I am. I am, but I turn to God. You're right. And if he doesn't hold me up, I'd fall to pieces, but I'm totally dependent on him and he's holding me together. Listen, I'm totally dependent on him and I'll give my life for him. Or you could be like the rest of America and the church and just run after a chicken sandwich and think we saved the country. Why the blood still runs from the altars of Moloch. Why they're building in Houston a huge, huge abortion clinic there. All over the country. The first funding that happened with the health care bill was sent to Ohio, I believe, to be able to take care of late-term abortions. But you see, that's happening. Why? Because we've sinned, kings. So I got a question for you, Josiah. I found the Bible. I found the Bible. Here it is. And I found the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, King. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to rule like your evil fathers? Or are you going to say, for me, it's going to start with me, God. I'm going to rule rightly. I'm going to be involved as you're involved in the affairs of men. I'm going to be involved. Even if this country goes down, I'm going to go down being a good king. I'm going to be a good king in this country. I'm not going to sit back and say, how are you voting? And what'd you go? I'm going to know who they are. And when they don't need to be running for office, I'm going to tell them you don't need to be running for office. If you don't care about the people, you don't need to be running for office. We're the kings. We tell them that. Can they hurt us? Yeah, they can hurt us, but they can only hurt the body. They can't hurt the soul. We're going to have to stand up. It can change when it begins to change with us. You're the king like Josiah. Here it is. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Let's pray. Father God, Lord, you just convicted my heart to the depths, the core of my being. Lord God, have mercy on us, God. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for the sin, Lord. Forgive us for the Baal worship and the Asherah worship and the Moloch worship and the sacrifice of children, Lord. And Lord, forgive us for allowing our rule to go awry, Lord. Forgive us for giving up our responsibility as a king, God. Forgive us for not being like Josiah, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for not going after your word. Forgive us for letting other men intimidate us when we're the kings and we're supposed to rule under your headship in this land. Dear God, Lord, turn it around for us, God. Have mercy on us, God. Forgive us for the, forgive us, or stop abortion and send revival and send a third great awakening in this land. Lord, stop abortion and send revival, Lord, and send a third great awakening in this land. Lord, end abortion and send revival, Lord God, and send a third great awakening in this land. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, a third great awakening, Lord, I cry out, God. Lord, we will teach them your ways, God. Forgive us, God. Deliver us, God. We see the sword coming, God. We understand they have nothing. It's you, God, that have brought the sword against us, God. Dear God, forgive us, God. Deliver us, God, by your hand. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Angels in this midst. Father God. Father God, Lord, right now I just want you to begin to deal with that stuff in your heart. Begin to deal with it. 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 Begin to pray for each other. Don't let this night end without dealing, doing business with God. Leave the sin at the altar of your heart. Say, it's got to go. It's got to go. Deal with the sin. Deal with the excuses, King. Deal with not doing due diligence for your country that you're supposed to rule. Dear God, forgive us, God. Forgive us for the state of this nation, God. Forgive us for what we've done and allowed it to become, Lord. It is our kingdom. Look what we've done to it, God. Cleanse us, land, oh God. Ho! Pray for each other. Pray for each other. Turn to each other and pray for each other. I bind the religious spirit in this land and I command you to go in Jesus' name. I pray for God's authority to begin to set in this land. I call down demonic strongholds in Jesus' name. Every man, every woman that has gotten an office illegitimately. Well, Father God, we pray that you remove them now, Jesus, in Jesus' name. God, awaken your people. Josiah, wake up, Josiah. Wake up, King. King of the land, wake up, King of the land. Where's the kings? Where's the kings? Where's the kings? Where's the kings? Wake up, kings. Oh, dear God, have mercy, God. Oh, have mercy, Lord God. Lord, come and deal with the lethargicness in your life. Deal with your sin. Deal with your images. Deal with your media choices. Deal with the sin in your life. Deal with the compromise. Deal with how you let your kingdom go. The sword has been fashioned against this nation. A flood is coming in this land. Storms are rising. Rise up, church. Rise up, church. Rise up, church! Shoo! Shoo! All my heart's desire is to seek your face. Rise, King! Rise, King! Rise, King! Rise, King! Rise, King! Ho, Josiah! Ho!
If you haven't yet met Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to Him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to VFNTV.com. You can also download the VFNTV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to VFNTV.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN-TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world, to illuminate it with God's perspective from His Word, and inspire you in your daily walk with the Lord and to activate you in your destiny with God that He's called you to. For more information, go to VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.